I think the days of the goalie coach being in the corner and just working with the goalies, that's sort of being phased out now, and you're more of an assistant coach.
Hello guys, and welcome back to a new episode of the Club Sun podcast. We're your hosts, Marcus Sundin, and alongside me is Alexander Brams, as always. Today, we're joined by a new guest, head of goalkeeping at Queen's Park FC and owner of Pro GK, Glenn Johnson. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Today's topic is going to be a little bit about your coaching career and experiences so far in your career. But before we jump into that, a usual segment is our fire questions. So we have four questions and you just answer as quick as possible whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Here we go. Gloves on or gloves off?
Oh, on.
Favorite goalkeeper of all time?
Paul Sanson.
Favorite goalkeeper you have played with or coached?
Oh, that's a really difficult one.
Yeah, put you on the spot.
Yeah. I probably can't give a definitive answer there, because I've been really lucky to work with some like really good goalkeepers. What I will say is really good goalkeepers, but actual really good human beings as well, which is probably more important. Yeah, I've got, you know, there's a lot there. So,
that's fair. That's
yeah, fair. I'm really lucky to have worked with some good guys and girls.
That's awesome. Last one, most important aspect within goalkeeping.
For me, most important aspect, I guess it's the attitude towards your work, and being able to come in every day with a smile on your face and be ready to work quite hard, and also to have an open mind towards goalkeeping and the position, because obviously, as we know, it's a ever sort of evolving position. So I would say those are the things I would say.
Cool. Yeah, and talking about the evolvement of the position, I highly agree with you, because the last 10 years has probably been where the goalkeeping position has evolved the most. Being like a position where you use your feet more than you use your hands, all this kind of stuff. And being in that, you've obviously been in the game for quite some time. And when you mentioned that being one of the most important aspects within goalkeeping throughout your career so far, why would you think that's the case?
That's a good question. Well, obviously the game is changing. And I think with that, the role of the goalkeeper and the goalkeeping coach, we've had to adapt and obviously change with it. You know, it's very much of the mindset, sort of adapt or die. And if you don't adapt with the game, then you'll probably find yourself out of the game quite quickly. But obviously the role of the goalkeeper now, I would say, you know, in the early 90s, they sort of brought, got rid of the back pass rule, so that was a bit of an issue for goalkeepers, because if there was any problems, they could just pick the ball up. And then obviously the way that the game has evolved over time, it's a lot more quicker now, and teams are always looking to build up from the back, and naturally the goalkeeper then has to be good with their feet. So with distribution as well now, you know, you look in the Premier League and the levels and some of the distribution that some of the goalkeepers have got there, you know, they are as good, if not better, than a lot of the outfield players.
Yeah, it's spot on. And where Alex and I are from, it's obviously a huge factor as well. Being from Denmark, it's a big part of being a goalkeeper. And both of us has experienced the American way of playing what they call soccer. We'll stick to football. But with that being said, it's different over here, because it's a lot about athleticism and being big and tall and strong as a goalkeeper, where us as most European coming over to the college system, we are quite to the smaller side, and we focus a lot on our strength with the feet, all that kind of stuff as well. So I mean, not to take it to the American side of the sport, because let's stick to the European side. But talking about the involvement of the position and you being in the game for quite some time, when would you say, because I still think a lot about this, to be honest, when do you think was the time where it really took the biggest steps? Because I remember, this is before our time, we had a guest talking about it really changed when goalkeepers like Peter Schmeichel came into the position, where he did things that you've never seen before. But now you see, as you just mentioned yourself as well, that distribution is a massive part of it as well. And we had a guest giving us statistics on it, that 80% of the game for goalkeepers is distribution. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously the stats probably, they don't lie, do they? I think it was, for me, I noticed it a bit of a change, probably, I think it was around 2015. So I think at the time I was at Boreham Wood in the National League, and it was the first game of the season. We were playing Forest Green Rovers, and we beat them on the day 1-0. But at the time, the goalkeeper, obviously under the instruction of the opposition manager, was playing out every single opportunity he got. And they got caught out a few times. Whereas we at the time were, our goalkeeper, although he had excellent distribution skills, that wasn't really how the team was set up. And that was sort of the first time that I'd really seen a team other than a Premier League club playing out and looking to do that all the time. And then obviously over the last few years, that's just become, you know, the norm. Most teams will set up to play out as much as they can and build. So it's been a gradual progression, I would say, in UK football over the last 5 to 7 years. And obviously, you know, the Premier League teams will do it, and then that sort of filters its way down. So, you know, it'll go to the Championship and throughout the Football League, and then find its way, obviously, into the National League and then lower. But that seems to be the sort of style of play, where if you maybe look back to like the late 80s or early 90s, where it was just smash it forward and get everybody up the pitch, you know, and that's obviously where now the role of the goalkeeper's changed, because clearly the game has changed as well.
Yeah, I mean, back then you didn't really want your goalkeeper to really have the ball. All the goalkeeper's job was to do to keep it out of the net, where now you see most goalkeepers being the first line of attack and being a part of the build-up, and that's a huge factor as well. So when we talk about this distribution aspect of goalkeeping, when you have obviously a goalkeeper squad at the Queen's Park FC, and you prepare week sessions, how big of an aspect is distribution? Because I think it's very different from goalkeeper coach to goalkeeper coach, how much they really want to focus on that, where old school goalkeeper coaches is a lot into volleys to the hands and getting comfortable with the ball. Yeah. Where me, for example, when I was a youth player in Denmark, I would go into the training session with the team and be a part of the position drill, like a outfield player, which really benefited my distribution skills, to be honest. So how do you approach that with your goalkeepers?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Obviously, it's on an individual basis, as you said there, from goalkeeper coach to goalkeeper coach. But, you know, a lot of it would obviously be under the direction of the head coach, because I think, you know, it depends what their style of play is. But also, I think the days of the goalie coach being in the corner and just working with the goalies, that's sort of being phased out now, and you're more of an assistant coach. But just so going back to your question, just with regard to what we do, so I would always have an element of my session with the ball at the goalkeeper's feet. But I do try to get them involved in the boxes and rondos from time to time as well, because obviously if we are working within our smaller goalkeeping unit, there's certain things that obviously we can't recreate because we've got a lack of numbers. So I do like to get the goalkeepers in a rondo or, you know, some sort of box, just to get them up to speed and used to the ball being moved quite quickly, which obviously works their touch and their passing skills.
Yeah, and then I mean, like, a big part of it is as well, obviously, you mentioning that you're more like an assistant coach in the sense of that if you, for example, as a team, create a drill of building out from the back, that's obviously where you have an important impact, because you have a important role as a goalkeeper in the build-up. Let's say a goal kick, obviously that's usually a goalkeeper that would start a goal kick. And again, this reminds me of a previous episode where we had a goalkeeper coach from the UK as well, talking about this specific topic about the goalkeepers nowadays, in some sense, are more of an assistant coach, because it's not only about the goalkeeper, it's also about letting the, let's say, backline know what to do in the build-up as a goalkeeper coach, because us as goalkeepers know how we want to build out from the back and how we want the ball to play back to us, and we want the wing backs to be wide, whatever. I mean, I think it's a big part of the development of the position as well. And even you as a goalkeeper coach, is more that it's not only about the goalkeepers nowadays, it's also about the back line and even the midfield as well, and strikers at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I think obviously there's opportunities to work within units, you know, defensively. And as you said there, you can include midfielders into that. You know, the role of the goalkeeper coach is obviously working with set pieces, attacking and defensive. So the role itself is becoming more involved rather than just obviously goalkeeping and solely goalkeeping. There's a lot more to it now. But, you know, it's just going back to what I'd said earlier, it's adapt or die, isn't it? And, you know, as a goalkeeping coach, that is the current trend, that you're involved in all those other aspects. So, that's something that has happened over the last sort of 4, 5, 6 years, and long may it continue.
Yeah, and I think you see that more goalkeeper coaches become head coaches. That's something I've seen in the college soccer/football world, but it's also, we've seen some top coaches be in there. And I just think that maybe I'm biased, but I think that we see everything from behind, like, and we see everything going on in the field, so we know a lot. And I can know from experience that I know a lot of tactical stuff, that I know what to do, I know where the gaps are, and we could actually also be a little bit a coach for the strikers to show them where to shoot and not to shoot.
Yeah. No, I think a good pal of mine is a head coach over in the US at Temple, Brian Rowland. So he played in the USL and then was assistant coach at University of Maryland, but has obviously got the head coach's gig at Temple and has been there for a good few years and been successful as well. I think you're right that there is more and more sort of former goalkeeper coaches that, you know, are going into those types of roles. So as you say there, Alex, it's, you know, the position where we tend to find ourselves is stood behind the goal, and you see things from maybe a different type of angle than maybe other coaches, and you can understand maybe the tactical aspects of certain things a little bit more at times.
Yeah, exactly. That exactly was my point. Changing the subject a little bit, I want to talk more specific in like the involvement of you. We said earlier, like the goalkeeping position, but how about the goalkeeper coaching? Like right now, we see way more coaches want to do game realistic stuff, but then we still have the old school, and we still see Brazil goalkeeper coaching do, like, they know where the shots are coming. And we also see with England, they recently put something up where half the over half the the drills were just like they knew where the shot was coming, and then there was a little bit of free play game realistic stuff. How do you see the evolving of goalkeeper coaching?
Well, it's been really interesting. So, you know, we've got Owen Coyle, who's the head coach at Queen's Park, and he's been really good for me because he just trusts me to get on with the goalkeepers and take care of them and make sure that they're prepared for, you know, games and everything. And then we've also got Ryan Berker, who has come in from AZ Alkmaar. And he's been really good for me as well because, you know, he's challenged me as a goalkeeping coach. You know, when he first come in, we'd sit down and review sessions and he'd say to me that he felt that they were more like a dance routine. And it was quite interesting because it really got me thinking about my sessions and my delivery and how to make them more game real. And I think at Queen's Park, we sort of see, I think we see goalkeeping differently. And we do recognise that there's a time and a place for sort of announced practice. But what I've tried to do as a sort of a starting point is, you know, in the old days, it would be 10 volleys, 10 half volleys, 10 dippers, and everything was announced and sort of predictable. And we sort of see that a little bit of the old way of thinking. And that's not to say that it's wrong, by the way, because obviously there's more than one way to skin a cat. But the way that I would do that now is that I would make it more unpredictable for the goalkeepers. So it maybe be two or three volleys, a dipper, a high ball, and it would be completely mixed and randomized. And then that way the goalkeepers are sort of they're not falling into the trap of everything just becoming like a robot, if that makes sense. And they're still getting the repetition and that good feeling of catching balls, but we just try to do it in a slightly different way. So there isn't really that that predictable element within even just our handling warm-ups. I think that we try to train, as I said, everything in the context of game real pitches, which in itself then creates sort of lots of unpredictability in the pitches that we're sort of creating, the situations. And then we try to make them sort of chaotic and stressful for the goalkeepers. So an example would sort of be, there's one thing that we do is called double tasking, where there would be, for example, a small ball, which is being either served to the goalkeeper first and then very quickly a shot would be fired in at them. And it's helping with their conscious focus and unconscious focus. And it's been interesting for me because ultimately I hadn't worked in that way before, and I've seen the results with the goalkeepers. And you know, the way that they process information and they see pictures. You take the small ball, for example, away, and then you get them into game situations, and you see that they can see things a lot clearer and a lot quicker. So that's been really interesting. So there's no real sort of conscious focus on the thing that they're learning, if that makes sense. And then so the goalkeeper develops the skill unconsciously. And then, as I said, when they're into the game situations, I just see them making more saves and I see things done a lot quicker and a lot more cleanly. And just by putting them under those stresses, it seems to just, when we're then in the game situations, as I said, we're making more saves. And it's like I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat. But for us, this has been quite successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we also have seen the evolution of the statistics, the analytics. We actually had a full podcast just on analytics. Is analytics something that you have used in goalkeeper coaching or in with how to develop your goalkeepers in general?
Well, I think obviously as a club, the club has gone from amateur to professional in the last 3 years. So, you know, the professional side of the club is growing all the time. And we're really lucky, you know, even from our goalkeeping department, all the goalkeepers have got goalkeeping specific GPS. So there's, you know, a fair amount of data that we can take from that. In terms of, for, you know, when we do our analysis, there's lots of things that we look at, and we're able to use those stats, which then we can take into our training sessions to maybe work on various elements of the game. So there are tools that we use and are actively using.
I think that's a massive part of not only the position but the whole like environment, the world of football. And we've referred a lot to previous episodes, but again, we had a whole episode on data within goalkeeping, and it was, to be honest, mind-blowing how important and how many teams use it nowadays, because it's so important, and it's an area where I think a few years back you would say, why are you taking data, or why are you tracking how many times a goalkeeper is taking a goal kick or playing it to the left instead of the right, this and that. But when you really look into it and now you see how important it is, I think it's a massive factor within the position and the whole sport. But again, Glenn, I want to go a little bit back to you mentioning the unpredictability aspect of your sessions, because I think, at least from my experience, goalkeeper sessions a few years back, or even some goalkeeper coaches will still do the same thing this day. Do a drill where they run you through it and say, first you'll have a ball to dive to left side, get on your feet, right side, this and that. Where instead, the importance of doing some game realistic drills and make them unpredictable, because at the end of the day, we are doing these drills, we are going into a goalkeeper session because we want to become better goalkeepers in a game environment. And if you do simple drills where you know what to do, in my opinion, it doesn't really set you up for a game, because a game is 90 minutes of unpredictability. We have no clue what's going to go on in those 90 minutes. So can you talk us through a little bit about you setting up drills where it's unpredictable for the goalkeeper, what's coming up?
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you just said there. You know, there's so many factors in games and situations that present themselves that are just, you know, they're not scripted, are they? So from the goalkeeping standpoint of your session, there needs to be as much sort of variation as possible. Now we might focus on a particular scenario that we've, you know, seen an opposition do. So, you know, that's something as well that obviously is then taken into account, because we'll watch the opposition and study what their threats are. So, you know, it may be shots from outside the box, for example, from outside the 18-yard box. But then, you know, it's then creating that unpredictability of the shot. It may be the ball's played into a wide area and the goalkeeper's then got to work their feet into that wide area. A shot comes in on the angle. It could be, you know, cut back. It may be floated to the far stick. there's so many different pictures and scenarios that can be created within your session off of the footage. As I said, I like to use the small balls quite a lot as well. And it's something that as with our goalkeepers this season's worked really well, and it's something that I will continue to do going forward as well.
But for the listeners out there not knowing the main reason behind using small balls, is it to focus more on the handling of the shot? And obviously it's, you have to be more focused about catching the small ball because it's smaller than an usual ball, or why do you implement that in your sessions?
Yeah, it's not really so much that is the distractor, if you like. And then, so for example, so let me give you an example. So high balls into the box from wide areas. So normally you just cross the ball into the box. The goalkeeper takes the high ball. That's it. But what I tend to do is I'll be standing in and around where the goalkeeper is. And as the ball is being crossed, the ball from the wide area is being crossed into the box, I'll toss the little ball towards him. He's then got to deal with that very quickly. And then his focus is then the ball that's traveling towards him. So a couple of things happened from doing that on a regular basis. What I found was that the goalkeeper would be scanning a lot more, which then replicated organizing his defenders in and around him. The ball that was traveling towards him from the cross would be dealt with like in a split second, because as he's throwing the smaller ball back to me, he gets his head up and he's looking, and that cross is already on top of him. So a byproduct of that was that we found that our goalkeepers were taking crosses more consistently as well. So the two byproducts of that, of the small ball, was that they were organizing over their shoulder and then taking crosses more. And that was just by implementing that small ball. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, very interesting. And it just shows over and over again that there is so many different aspects within goalkeeping that you can improve on daily. And every single goalkeeper coach have a different approach on how to make their goalkeepers better goalkeepers. So, I mean, that's why we love doing this, because we get so many different opinions, so much different knowledge and backgrounds, experiences. And as I said, every goalkeeper coach, every goalkeeper, every football player at the end of the day is different. We're all different in this world. So with that big statement here at the end, I want to jump into the last segment of our podcast here, Glenn, because this is obviously the first time you are on the podcast. So we want to talk a little bit about a big factor within goalkeeping, and that's obviously gloves. So because of our name, the Gloves on Podcast, I want to ask you about your favorite gloves and why.
Well, so I've actually not worn another pair of gloves. So as you mentioned earlier, I own the glove brand ProGK, which I set up in 2007. And I've not actually worn another pair or another branded pair since. So, I mean, what's that, 15 years-ish, something like that? I don't know. So it's been quite a long time. So did you ask what my favorite pair is?
I said, yeah, favorite gloves and why. Do you have like a specific cut or design, something extraordinary for the listeners out there to say, oh, wow?
Well, I love an Aqua glove. So our current Aqua model is my favorite.
Is that because of all the rain in the UK?
Yeah, yeah.
We have the same mind.
I'm up in Scotland now. As you know, Queen's Park is based in Glasgow, and it rains quite a lot. So yeah, I'm just looking out the door there. Sorry. And by the way, that's my chimer. if you can hear that in the background from time to time, the wind's just picked up. So, but yeah, I'm looking out the door and it's raining. So, yeah, the aquas, I don't know what it is. I love the latex. The colorway's really nice as well. So that would be my favorite. That's not even a plug. That's just the truth. You know, I just love that glove.
Yeah. And out of interest, do you design your gloves yourself and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah. No, the goalkeeper glove industry is a really difficult one to be in. And, you know, if I knew what I know now, I probably wouldn't have started. But we're so far down the line with it, it's difficult to stop. I feel sorry for the new type of brands that are around. You know, we're sort of a middle-sized brand. You know, we can't compete with the big boys. Sometimes it's difficult to compete with the smaller ones as well, because you look at the price that they're selling gloves for and you wonder how they make any profit at all, if any. So it is a really sort of difficult industry to be in. But yeah, I design the gloves, and just have a, I think it's just the passion for goalkeeping that I've got, you know, whether it's coaching and trying to improve goalkeepers, studying goalkeeping, or, you know, the gloves themselves as well. I get a buzz when I see, you know, it used to be about how many professional goalkeepers we can get in them. But over time that changes because, you know, we've got a small amount of pros that wear the gloves now, but they're all really, really good humans and their sort of values are aligned with what mine are and what the brand is. I get more of a buzz now when I see young goalkeepers wearing them. And to know that, you know, there's a Sunday League goalkeeper out there that has decided to, you know, purchase our gloves when there's so many other brands out there, you know, that gives me a lot of satisfaction.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I appreciate you giving us some insight on that as well. With that being said, Glenn, we are coming to the end of the episode. So Alex and I just want to thank you so much for joining the Gloves On podcast today.
No, pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On podcast.